The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
What would you like people to think about you when you've gone?
I'd like for them to say he took a few cups of love. He took one tablespoon of patience, one tablespoon, teaspoon of generosity, one pint of kindness. He took one quart of laughter, one pinch of concern, and then he mixed willingness with happiness. He added lots of faith, and he stirred it up well. Then he spread it over a span of a lifetime, and he served it to each and every deserving person he met.
Muhammad Ali, thank you very much.
It seems another week goes by, we lose another superstar. This time around, we're celebrating the greatest. While Fred, AJ, and Jong are away, the Houston Game Day guys are going to play on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Good afternoon and welcome in, City of Houston. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. And there's no Fred, there's no AJ.
What?
Even Jong mailed it in. And to be fair, AJ took vacation, Jong took vacation. Fred decided to give the kids over at Houston Game Day a rep. So we are here. My name is Mike Liebeschock. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We'll be taking you up to the 7 o'clock hour. I am joined by my Sunday morning partner in crime, Barry Laminack. What's up, man?
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good. And thank you for asking.
This is so weird. I'm not used to seeing you in a Michael Keaton get up with your tie and everything, looking all fancy.
Spectators.
Is this how you do during the week? You're all fancy?
I dress like an adult Monday through Friday.
Except for the shoes. We won't.
There's nothing wrong with the shoes, man.
All right.
I'm going to tweet them out a little bit.
Yeah.
Helping us out in the producer's studio in place of Jong Lee, Tyler Scott. What's up?
What up?
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, sir.
The general.
We haven't spent this much time together since Final Four weekend. I think we spent the weekend together.
Should we preface that?
Should we provide more clarity?
We just leave it around
be.
That statement.
I think we should just leave it.
I think we're going to have some upset spouses.
These are blitzers we're dealing with.
That's true.
So, no, because my wife was with me that weekend too. So, and that just added to that picture. So, thanks so much.
I was going to say something, but I'm not going to now, Shock.
And if you typically don't hear us, it's because you're generally at church or sleeping in on Sunday morning. We are the ones who bring you Houston Game Day here at ESPN 97.5 each and every Sunday morning. From 10 until 12, and that really is a byproduct of you and I being past Rock the Mic winners. I took 2012, you took 2013.
Yeah.
And then the guys after us, JT and Cameron, they actually do a podcast.
Downhill after me. It was downhill.
Yeah, they just stopped.
Yeah.
But you can catch their podcast and over on the ESPN 97.5 app or at Arena.
Podcast Arena.
Yeah. And we've got that contest coming up again. So maybe we'll spend a few minutes during the next 3 hours.
You're going to do this again?
Yeah, believe it or not. So we're not getting into deep detail, but it is kind of cool, man, that they give us a cup of coffee each and every now and then to see what we can do.
Look, neither one of us would be here.
No.
If it weren't for Rock the Mic, which some people may say that's a bad thing. Some people may say it's a good thing, you know. But yeah, it's a cool contest, man. I enjoy participating in it, and now I enjoy watching people struggle. Last year was special for me,
yeah.
Especially since I got to cut people and be a-hole while I did it. Yeah. I got to go in and trick them into thinking they were going to make it through. And then I got a thesaurus, and I was using different words to tell them how bad they were and then cut them. It was the highlight of my year so far in radio.
And that was my time away. I wish I had been here to witness that.
It was beautiful.
But I've been doing the Sunday morning show since 2012, since that winter. And then you joined up in the fall of 2013. And as far as we know, we show up every Sunday and we can still get in.
And no one listens.
And we still get paid.
Yep.
You know,
that's all I care about.
Barry's card did stop working though, right?
Yeah.
That is
thanks
correct.
Thanks for digging
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you got in today, no problems though.
Well, I mean a month and a half ago.
Because the building's open, Tyler.
A month and a half ago, our owner didn't even know we were on the air. So, you know, I keep bringing that up like it's a good thing. But thank you, nevertheless, notwithstanding. And then hopefully, even though your boys, Fred and AJ, aren't here, and you Jong fans, he's abroad with the girlfriend touring Thailand and Korea, I guess, and all the other places he's doing. But they'll be back. Fred will be back tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and I'll be joining him on Wednesday.
Nice.
And so cool. So stick around, man. Coming into
should we tell them how to send us all their hate tweets?
Yeah, let me do
because if
that
you send
first.
It to the Blitz, yeah. We're not going to get it. You need to send all your hate.
Sure.
You can just send it to our personal.
Let me do the phone number like Fred.
Yeah, come on.
713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN.
Not bad.
We'll use our
Twitter.
I'll
show you how it's done later.
Okay. At Shock is here. At Barry is funny. At T to the Scott. And go ahead and use our Twitter. At Houston Game Day. Fire off all your hatred and vitriol. And we'll be happy to respond in kind, especially Barry.
Is somebody monitoring the Blitz Twitter and Facebook today? Should I be doing that?
Oh, we got a Facebook page, too.
Can I? Yeah, well, no one
if
cares
you,
anymore,
I mean,
so.
If you tweet it, like, John might get it 12 hours.
Can we get a password and log in? And
Wait, dude.
I think John only knows it.
Time zones don't work that
no,
way.
No, no, no. I'm saying,
he'll get it now.
Right now. Yeah, it's 4 a.m., though, where he is. So.
All right. I just want to make sure you're aware.
I'm aware of how that works.
Tyler's like, yeah, those computer things don't work. They slow down over time zones. That's a tricky thing.
If we tweet him and he were in London, he would have gotten it 6 hours ago. That's kind of what you're saying. All right. I'm done making fun of Tyler. He's the one who presses all the buttons. So
I'm not.
We top of the show, man. You've been hearing it all day. If you've been, I don't think just specifically sports radio hasn't been exclusive to sports radio. If you've been on any kind of news or anything over the last 3 days, really Friday night, you are aware that Muhammad Ali passed away this past Friday in Scottsdale, Arizona, and everyone who's anyone has been throwing up their tributes, throwing up their. Pardon me, their opinions, their stories. I know our own Barry Warner has been making the rounds here in Houston because he has a lot of experience with Ali. Three-time heavyweight champion, champion of civil rights, battled Parkinson's disease for 32 years, which is an unfathomable amount of time. I was Googling old interviews of his, and I came across one that he did with David Letterman. And first of all, I'll just say, if you ever want to see an interview with anyone done correctly and you want to get inside someone's head a little bit and hear the right questions asked, go find an old Letterman interview. And it was the old NBC set, so this would have been mid to late 80s at the earliest. And he was already, caught up in that affliction.
Mm-hmm.
Dave was very careful with him, very caring of him, asking him, basically, champ, how do you spend your day? And he talked about answering mail every day, praying five times a day per his Muslim faith, getting up at 5:30 in the morning. And this was 30 years ago. This is an interview that probably took place in the mid 80s. So yeah, right at about 30 years. And he made it all this time. So, rest in peace. His family is relieved that he is suffering no more, whether it's physical pain or you're suffering from the fact that you're not who you were and you don't have the skills you did and you can't take care of yourself or speak your mind the way that you once did. Rest in peace, Muhammad Ali. They'll have his memorial in Louisville, Kentucky, his hometown, at the KFC Yum Center. Eulogies from President Clinton, Bryant Gumbel, and Billy Crystal. So I'm sure there'll be some great stories and some awesome words spoke by those guys.
Yeah, man, it's a big loss, not just for the sports community, but for this nation. He was larger than life to most people, and he wasn't just a national figure; he was an international figure. He meant a lot to a lot of people around the world. And I don't think that I'm going to be able to articulate or say anything that hasn't been said already by a lot of people that knew him a lot better than I. But it is a tremendous loss in just to mankind. I mean, the dude transcended sports. He was an activist, but he was without a doubt. He was a symbol of a lot of things. And I think one of the things that gets lost in that is just the fact that, to me, the bravery that he would display to stand in the face of adversity and not back down and not it would be easy to say, forget it, and it's not worth it. But he didn't do that, and I think that's one of the things that I admire most about him.
And for you and I, who are in our, or your early 40s, I'm closer to my mid 40s. See, when we were kids.
No, you're mid 40s.
No, I'm 44. I'm closer to the end of his boxing career.
You know,
he was still, I want to say at that point, I can remember my dad talking about him, should have quit already. And he, my dad would actually talk about brain damage and stuff like that. The way some people talk about Holyfield, I guess, at times. There's a lot of boxers from that time who, you know, they lose their faculties. You take the kind of beatings that they took over time, and we, you know, we talk about CTE in the NFL right now. When you look at what these guys did for 15 rounds back in the day, and you go back even farther, some of them didn't have rounds early 20th century. Mm-hmm. I don't think boxing had some rounds or early late 19th. They fought until someone lost, and you took punch after punch after punch, and these were the machoest dudes on the planet.
Yeah,
we talked about on our show yesterday, back in the day, heavyweight champion of the world was the guy, definitely in the United States. He was the number one athlete. He was the Frank Sinatra of sports in those days, and Ali took it a step further because he was so well known around the nation. So if you have had the chance to see any of these tributes, I know that ESPN Classic has been running Wide World of Sports reruns from the 70s and early 80s, and it's a lot of flashbacks for me because that was when I first started paying attention to boxing. I grew up in a boxing house. My dad watched it every night that it was on, and he was a huge Ali fan, huge Frazier fan. Ray Leonard was the first one I latched onto. But, you know, that it is what it is. It's the first giant of my lifetime who has really come and gone.
I was always amazed at how he was able to – I mean, he tackled some of the biggest issues of this country's you know, within the last century. With Vietnam and race and even religion to a certain degree, and but he always had a serious message, but it never seemed like he took himself too serious to where he wouldn't go out there and be a showman and have some fun. It was just this it was weird that he could balance those and impressive that he could balance those so well. You know, and you look back on it, and I think the question came up. We had a caller yesterday that asked, will there ever be, or maybe it was Tyler that asked, will there ever be anyone like Ali again? And I just don't think so. I can't see how there will ever be that perfect storm of opportunity and the right man to step up and face that opportunity.
And we can talk about the whys and the wherefores on the other side of this break. We'll be with you until 7 o'clock. Feel free to give us a call, 713-780-3776. We're not going to do a three-hour deal on Ali, but he'll certainly on the top of our minds. Let's take a short break. We'll see you on the other side of this break. It is Mike and Barry in for AJ and Fred. It's The Blitz on ESPN
97.5. You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back. Shock and Barry in for Fred, A.J., and Tyler in for Jong. Let's do equal time to the producer guys.
Man, I don't know why.
This is like the biggest audience you and I have ever had. I think we did The Blitz once a couple years back. I say the end of 14, but it was during the holidays. We came in. It was during like December, during the Christmas holidays, and we came in on like a Tuesday.
It was on Christmas Day.
There was like, you know, 9 people with their radios on in Houston, but this is like a normal week. Just so happens school is out.
Are you nervous?
Nah, man. Nah. I will say though, I my oldest kid had to go to school this morning at 6:30 because strength and conditioning has started for athletes all over the city of Houston. So school ended Thursday. They're back doing strength and conditioning, junior high kids, high school kids. So they're already busting their ass for the next 6 weeks, you know, sweating it out.
This is why I don't have kids.
Guys and girls, it's not sports specific. It just never ends in this city. It's amazing. So if you guys are getting after it.
You know when it ends? When you don't have kids.
Oh, man. Yep.
It's a beautiful thing.
So, man, if you guys are out there listening, not just the kids, but the parents who got up on a week that you didn't think you had to and took those kids to their schools so that they could get better today. Good on you. And thanks for doing that. And thanks for listening this morning. You want to respond to some social media?
You can tweet me at Barry's Funny. He is at Shock is here. What is yours? T. Scott LaRock. What is it?
T to the Scott.
Whatever. Hey,
Fred's been making fun of me for it anyway.
Yeah, so it's horrible.
It's probably going to change, too.
It is. I think now that we've got this huge listening audience, we need to let them pick Tyler Scott's. Go look at his picture. Go see what a doofus he is.
I might have to update it. I still think that
you're fancy without a hat. I'll give you that. You look fancy.
Thank you.
I still think Bacon Weave is the best one.
Bacon Weave.
That goes back to
Christmas Super Bowl. No, yeah. Super Bowl.
What about Adam Waite?
Adam Waite.
When he thought
I forgot about Adam Waite.
When he thought that the weight class Atom Waite with a T was Adam Waite, ADAM.
And now the third one is
to be fair, you're not saying it like Adam.
The last one would be
whatever. It's
Twitter time travel is the other one based on his inability to
Twitter time travel. But yeah, you can follow T Scott LaRock or whatever the hell it was. Sid Bream was out. Said that we should. So he's saying that we should all start tweeting Jong en masse, and I say yes. You say yes. Lamont checked in, called us substitute teachers. That's so sweet. Better Call Joe said he's pumped about the show. Don't choke. Say sports and tell a lot of D jokes or P jokes. Equal rights. Mm. So there you go. And all of those people are people that listen to us on Sundays anyways. So
there is that.
No blitzers yet.
No.
Checking in to with their hate. I'm ready.
Care what they say. Those are the true degenerates, the ones who get up at 10 a.m. on
Sunday. Look at John and Raheel on the TV now.
Can't escape them.
Running their commercial. Have you seen Barry Warner's commercial with, what's his name?
No, I have a filter.
Oh, you do?
I got an ugly filter.
Man, that's a tough watch.
Now, to be fair to John and Raheel, they did the tough work today. They did a road show at Saltgrass in Arlington, the only sports station in Houston that cares, as I heard Raheel say over and over, to essentially lift the curse. The Astros are 0-10. Their last 10 matchups in Arlington have been doubled up as far as score differential goes. Something's crazy, like almost like 70-40, 68-39.
Yeah, it's bad.
So they're up there for this four-game series, which kicks off tonight, and we'll get into the details and some pitching matchups a little bit later. But they're up there to effectively help the Astros get over the hump tonight. So,
yeah, good luck.
So there's that.
Good luck. We already yesterday we talked picks, and trying to be a realist here. And I think you guys picked them to sweep the Rangers up in Arlington.
Well, what we have is seven games this week, four in Arlington, four in Arlington, three at Tampa, and we have them both splitting in Arlington and then sweeping the race.
Yeah. I'll say they'll be lucky to win one of the four games in Arlington.
I will say that,
lucky.
I will say Granato noticed that the betting line favored the Astros today, and I guess Colby Lewis is starting for the Rangers, who they can never hit. So someone either screwed up in Vegas or they know what they're doing, and maybe they knew, again, that the guys from Middays were there to lift the curse and move the line. So,
yeah,
there's that. We opened up that first segment talking about Ali, and you raised an interesting question. You know, who's the guy now? And honestly, maybe an hour after, that kind of popped into my head. Well, who is the elder statesman? Who's the most beloved athlete or celebrity on the planet? And it makes me think back. And this has been a rough year. I mean, we've lost Bowie. We lost Alan Rickman. We lost a ton of people. Glenn Fry.
Prince,
who would have a birthday tomorrow, in fact.
Didn't somebody from Earth, Wind, and Fire pass away?
Maurice
well?
White from Earth, Wind, and Fire. You're exactly right.
How old was Prince going to be?
I want to say 58.
Damn. Yeah, he's 57.
You'd have been
died.
58 tomorrow.
I hope I look that good when I turn 58.
Let me tell you. Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, had the sequel book released in 2015. You've been losing people left and right. George Martin, the Beatles producer, Nancy Reagan. I mean, it goes on and on. And I don't know if we go through this every year and this really happens, or whether this year it just seems like it's bigger and badder and worse than ever before. But I kind of did think, who's the guy now? And someone put up a meme when Prince died. You know, can we bubble wrap Stevie Wonder?
Yeah.
Can we make sure nothing happens to him? Because I mean, musicians, I think about the older guys like Stevie and for the Northeasterners, worldwide really, Paul Simon, who's almost 70. He goes back that far. Dylan is probably almost 70.
Hall & Oates.
They were just here, so they're actively doing stuff. They're in their 50s probably.
What?
No, I think 60s. Daryl Hall is pretty old. Or he's like mid-60s.
Are you putting him in the same conversation
No, I'm just
with
saying,
Stevie and Prince?
I'm making a joke. Come on.
Okay.
Sadly, I don't think he's making a joke.
And yet Bieber lives. What's up with that?
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it makes you think, who's that guy now? Who is, you know, who, if Ali, most beloved elder athlete living at the time, and I know who I always see. When I see Dr. J on TV, I'm like, cool. Good to see he's doing well.
Yeah.
That was one of my guys growing up. Frank Robinson, Willie Mays on the baseball side, probably the most beloved living, you know, baseball players anyway.
Right.
Mays and Frank Robbie and Koufax is still hanging in there, but none of them were as beloved on the surface as Muhammad Ali. And, you know, there's those, for political reasons or just patriotic reasons, who didn't like him, who thought he should have gone to Vietnam just because he should have gone to Vietnam, regardless of his beliefs, whatever. You know, there is that, and you know, people are going to have that opinion. You got to respect it. But he was widely loved all over the world. And, you know, Michael Jackson's not here. Prince is no longer here. And people spent a month mourning him. That's still not over yet. People still got those avatars out there of a Prince face. You know?
Oh, yeah. I think they're just – they forget to
or they're
change
lazy.
Their – yeah, because I'm still seeing, like, the French flag updates.
I do know some of those
or the,
people.
You know the ones that –
someone here
on
at this
Facebook.
Office has one. Yeah.
Oh. Who? But, so, yeah, call him out.
But who's that guy
call
now?
Call him out.
Nah, it's a her, and I'm not calling her out. Oh. But, yeah, I mean, who would that person be? Does that person even exist? Is it is John Glenn around? I mean, is it an astronaut? I mean, who would it be? Ronald Reagan. Know. People loved him. He's been gone a long time. I just don't know who that person – I don't even exist anymore. And you raised another point. Who would do what he did? You know, who would do – I mean, Arthur Ashe is long gone. He's been gone for, 25 years almost. He's the only person I can think of that came close in our lifetimes who put it all at risk the way they did with a tennis career in front of him, was willing to get arrested, went to jail for protesting. Ali was willing to do the same thing. I think there's too much at risk for today's athlete. I think when you have a brand at risk, when you have the money that's at risk, maybe you're too thin-skinned to deal with the constant feedback that social media now provides.
Well, definitely. I think
that 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah.
You know?
Image is everything. And I think people understand that if you are controversial in a sense where people won't like you, it affects your ability to market and be marketable. And that in turn costs you money. And I think that's where you see people shy away from really standing up for what they believe in, whether it's considered right or wrong, or whether they think people will consider it acceptable, right or wrong. And so, I mean, it's tough. It's easy to say, oh, well, I think it defaults now to somebody like Michael Jordan. Like, he's the – but there's that's just it. He may have been the greatest basketball player of all time, but what stand did Michael Jordan take, right? Like, what is it that made him relevant in a non-sports – relevant in a non-sports way in our society? And that's tough to find, man. Nowadays, it's really tough to find someone that can transcend the politics plus the sports plus, and do it over generations like Ali did too.
Now, the thing is about Jordan, he didn't have as many lovable moments. And granted, with Ali, it didn't happen until the Parkinson set in and he wasn't able to speak out the way he did when he was younger. And that's, I think, for a lot of people to say, that's when he became more beloved. But when you go back and watch the videos as Cassius Clay, it's funny now. And I'm sure people hated him for being as brash, being as arrogant, because people just didn't do that, let alone a black man speak out like that against anybody. And now you watch those videos, like I said, Friday night when he passed away, my kids are watching that. They couldn't believe that 40, 50 years ago, someone would talk trash the way that he did.
Oh, he was the best at it. Still maybe. I mean,
there's a giant gray area between him and now.
Yeah.
You had 30 years where no one did that.
No.
You know, it wasn't Leonard, Hagler, Hearns, nobody.
Lamont said, McCartney, Jagger, or Madonna in terms of name, appeal, and age. But again, that may be true Madonna adopted a British accent.
He's
on to something there
with McCartney, though. And that'll be one of those where, you know, when, and he's still touring, somewhat going strong. He looks frail and thin, but he's still touring.
Somebody named Patrick said, I like you guys. This is on Twitter. So I'm just reading it verbatim, so don't get mad at me. But he said, I like you guys. I like that you're not Craig Shelton. These guys are brutal, man. Brutal. I want to see the Blitz Twitter and see all the hate we're getting, because right now it's nothing but love over here.
Well, you still can sign into the text line, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'll give you the login.
Oh, yeah.
We can do that.
Text us the hate.
Text us 713-780-3776. We like it better when you call because the voices make us feel warm. It's Shock and it's Barry. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
The HD show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring. Located on Luetta, Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 crowns, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by and turn Monday into Funday. With the HD show, that's actually the All-Pro Henry Thomas, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Trademark, correct?
Yes.
What's a Sailor Jerry? Anybody know?
I know what it sounds like. Is that similar to like a Cleveland Steamer?
No.
No?
No.
I don't know.
No, Sailor Jerry is a type of rum.
Okay.
Oh!
All right. A Crown, Jaeger, and Tuaca, I know well, too well. And Sailor Jerry. You know what? I was at this bar.
Oh, you know what? I have heard of Sailor Jerry's.
Is that like Captain Morgan? Was that like his first mate?
Yeah.
I was at this bar in San Antonio once.
I was going to say something else, but that's a good call.
They actually had like a Tuaca dispenser. I mean, that's what? How. Yeah, I mean, anybody who's ever worked in hospitality would tell you that alcohol drives profits. You know,
yeah.
If you're like a, you know, TJ Fridays or an Applebee's, you're going to sell the food, but the bar is really where they make their profits. And I guess Tuaca is what was like the most popular liquor they had out there because people would have it with Red Bull, make Tuaca bombs. They had it on a dispenser that measured out the exact amount of the shot. So you lose the allure of, like, the bartender, you know,
yeah,
swinging it around and doing whatever.
What is this drink
like,
called?
Like Michael Caine.
Yeah.
It was a Tuaca bomb. It's 2 ounces of Tuaca and Red Bull. What
the hell is Tuaca?
Dude. Like Tuaca's pretty good.
Tuaca, what the hell is that?
Tuaca. Vanilla, amaretto, yeah. Flavored something.
It sounds
like
than,
a girl drink.
It's not.
Do you have to drink it off of like a frozen penis where they pour it and it runs down and you're like crouched in front of the bar?
Man, that's in the dumbass report later.
Is it really?
No. But that, man,
I was going to say, did you get some picture of Tyler doing that?
Tuaca will get you justified, man.
Will it? I'm sorry. I just drink Crown. So
Sean Swinney.
And Sailor Jerry.
Sean Swinney checking in on Twitter. Oh, no, not these guys. If I remember right, he's not the greatest intern of all time. I think Anton Ainsworth used to call him the greatest intern of all time at ESPN 97.5. Because he brought food in.
Huh?
Maybe. I might be wrong.
When?
Was he the one that...
Before I got here. So that was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
They got food from Yao's or something and name dropped.
Maybe.
Dave got mad at him.
Oh, no, that might have been... Well, I don't know. Who was the intern whose mom owned a restaurant and he would bring in tacos on Sunday morning? You were here for
no,
that.
No, it's definitely not that.
No, I never had breakfast on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
I did get my first hate tweet. I'm really excited about this. Bro. Someone said, great show so far. When are you going to be funny?
Sounds like, was that your
wife? Love you too, Nick.
Was that Nora?
No, uh-huh. That wasn't. No.
So, we led off those first two segments with some Ali talk, and we can certainly continue that. 713-780-3776. At Houston Game Day on Twitter. However, there's other stuff going on.
I'm sorry, I just realized why Nick hates me.
Why?
Because he said, I guess I left Rock the Mic before you eliminated me. I heard you lit me up. So there you go. See? When you know you've done a good job.
Is it Nick Haluza?
You know, you've done a good job of hurting someone's feelings when a year later they send you the first hate tweet. Like, that's really carrying it with you. So I'm very proud of this moment.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. I dig that.
It's good you can touch people and they remember it all that time later. It's probably like he's got, you know what? He's probably got a room in his apartment or in his mom's basement, wherever
he lives. Pictures are all over the wall, but cut up and marked
so
through.
So many pictures, like in Seven.
Yeah.
That could be brutal.
He does he looks like he would kill me, though, so I better be careful.
So, man, we mentioned last segment, are you feeling better about these Astros? And trust me, we're not ignoring Game 2 of the NBA Finals. We will get to that in short order. But,
what is there to get to?
How are you happy, man? You are a dyed-in-the-wool,
yes.
You know, Astros dude. And they are on a run that we weren't expecting. We were hoping for in May, man, but for them to rip off, what was that, 9 out of 10 now?
Yeah.
3 in a row, sweeping the A's, 4 now in Arlington. Angels, they put a hurting on. Arizona, they put a hurting on. You know, and it's not like they're beating all bad teams. They swept the Orioles here, who were in first place in the East. They beat the White Sox up 2 out of 3. They've been leading the Central for
a lot of
the season.
Three back now, but yeah,
three
that,
back now,
yeah,
but
the they
time,
were.
At the time, they were in that conversation for best, you know, best 3 or 4 teams in Major League Baseball. They've underachieved against teams that maybe they should beat. They've let some wins get away, but they have really been sturdy against some of the better teams. You know,
they've been okay. I'm taking the win streak with a healthy dose of skepticism because of some of the teams that they're winning against at home. I think in order for this team to be considered a contender like everyone seemed to think they were, including myself, before the season started, they're going to have to go on the road and win. This is a team that didn't win on the road at the end of, well, much at all last year, but specifically down the stretch last year. And so that trend continues, and that's what's going to hurt them. If they can't go out and at least split on a road, just go 500 for goodness sake. But they can't seem to do that. I mean, I think that I told you yesterday, I think they'll go out and they'll be lucky to win one game of the four up in Arlington, because that's the kind of team that this is right now. So it's great when they're, you know, they're 8-2 in their last 10, but so are the Rangers. So they gained zero ground on this hot streak. And it's, and so they have no one to blame but themselves. They put themselves in this position because of a terrible April. But in some respects, I think the lineup changed help. Seeing George Springer now, he's taken off. He's gotten his average up. He was at 254 like 2 weeks ago, and now he's almost – he's creeping up on 300, which in turn Altuve is still holding steady in number two. Gattis is hitting now. You've got an option at catcher that can hit. There's a lot of things that are positive that you're starting to see from the lineup. The starting pitching is okay. Keuchel's a mess, but starting pitching has gotten better. The bullpen has been great, but I just have a problem with them continuing to trot Gregerson out there as the closer. I don't see why you do it. I get it. He was your closer last year, but you have one of the best relief pitchers in baseball in Harris, and last night was his first save opportunity this year, and I just don't understand how you can go this long. Gregerson has blown 5 saves. I think it's time. Move him out. Move Harris in. Let Giles be the setup guy. I wouldn't mind sliding Gregerson to the 7th inning. Let Giles come in on the 8th and let Harris close out the games.
Make Gregerson be a mop-up dude for a little while. Move Feliz,
yeah.
Maybe move Feliz up.
Show me something, and then you can start to earn your job back. But until then, yeah, I wouldn't even have a problem if they put Feliz in as the setup guy. But I think I really like him in that long relief role. I think it gives you a great option. Your starting pitching hasn't been spectacular, so you need a quality long reliever that can go in and bail your team out when he needs to, and he definitely gives you that.
Such as it is, man, and it's just the grind of a major league season, the fact that you can go on the kind of run that Houston's been on for 2 weeks now, going into the third week, and you're still 2 games under 500. You're still 7 games back, and you're right to go 8-2 and not gain any ground.
Yeah.
And Texas is, you know, they're not great on the road. They're 13-13. They are 20-1-9 at home. So they're getting it done in Arlington.
That's called? That's called a first place team.
Yep.
You split on the road and you win more than you lose it at home. That's what you do. And the Astros don't do that. They're 17-14 at home, 11-16 on the road, and that's why they're 7 games back. You've got to go out and win on the road. If they just split on the road, they're what? They're 3 games back?
Yep.
Right now? So it makes all the difference in the world.
The only teams, even though this year, the only teams who are even in shouting distance of that kind of record at home, the Cubs, who are 22-8, and we'll get into their ridiculousness in just a moment regarding the scoring difference between them and everyone else, and the Orioles, who are 21-11 at home, but they're a game under on the road. So there's only 3 teams really lighting it up in Major League Baseball at home, and for your Astros to kind of make a dent in this lead. I mean, 7 games is nothing in June. I mean, that can be made up. That's not a big deal. And
sure.
We're not here pumping them up. Oh, they're going to win it. We're not Billy J. Breedlove. Oh, they're going to kick ass the rest of the season.
Leave Billy J. alone.
We love Billy J. He's a Houston game dayer, and we love him. But, man, you got to tell it like it is. They've got some wood to chop, and this is a good place to start.
Yeah.
Are you happy? If they split, are you happy coming out of that?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
If they split on the road, hell yes I am. If they go up to Arlington and take 2 out of 4, Oh, that's that. Well, one, now they're five games out going into their next series. So yeah, that's a huge feather in their cap. You've if got, they go and split in Arlington and then come back from the road with a split overall, definitely. I think if they can do that, they pull themselves within five games and maybe even four, depending on where the Rangers are headed next. Yeah, that all signs point to, hey, this might could happen for them.
Tonight you've got Mike Fiers, who we've said on our show has been kind of the de facto ace of this team. He's kind of been the most, you know, consistent guy in the rotation all year against Colby Lewis.
Fister has.
Who, again, they never beat. You know, it seems they never beat him. Dallas Keuchel and Cole Hamels at the beginning of the year, that's one you would have bought a ticket for. Keuchel's been inconsistent. Hamels hasn't been himself. They'll be tomorrow night. Doug Fister, Yu Darvish Wednesday, Colin McHugh, and Martin Perez on Thursday. And I thought they were coming home after Tampa, but they go to Tampa Bay for 3, a game off, 2 days in St. Louis before they come home a week from Friday against the Cincinnati Reds, and then the Angels are here. So they've got...
And it looks like Fielder's back in the lineup for the Rangers, so yay!
Oh, good.
Good for them.
Yay.
Jeez.
Yeah, man, you think they can throw him out stealing? Are you concerned about Prince Fielder lighting up the base paths?
No. Not a little bit.
What do you think about these Astros, man? What are they taking out of four? What are the odds? What are the odds that for tomorrow or Wednesday that they can get a sweep? Can they take 2 of 2? Can they take 3 out of 4? Would they leave their 11 games out having been swept 4 in a row in Arlington? You tell us. 713-780-3776. Shock and Barry. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Separated.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
For your listening pleasure tonight on YSR 1560, it is the Stanley Cup Finals. They'll be dropping that puck around 7:30. And then tomorrow, the Blitz will be a revelry on Richmond. Lewis Woodard will be in for AJ. You may know Lewis from his work over at 1560. I think he's on the network as well, YSR. And so that you have that to look forward to as well, which is kind of cool. It's kind of cool that we're getting hockey on here. We have NBA Finals stuff every now and then, right?
Yes.
When those games are on?
I think
on.
Wednesday we'll have game 3.
Only when those games. Hey, man, by the way, they've been spacing out these games. I mean, we were talking yesterday. It felt like it had been a week already since game 1. And I was looking at the schedule of games if necessary. And at this rate, it looks like we might not need 5.
Yeah.
2 games is like the rule. I think there's 1 or 2 deals where it's only 1 day break, but they're taking 2 days off in most cases. If this were to go 7, I think there's 4 instances, maybe 5, where it's
I don't
a 2 day break.
The Cavs flew out last night after the game. They flew out this morning back to Cleveland.
Yeah, that's why I don't get why they do that. I think it's kind of stupid. That's just me, though. You know, I mean, how much rest do you really need? They fly out after the game. They have all day today. They wouldn't play until 8 or 9 local tomorrow night. You know, it's not like there's a ratings thing tomorrow night that they're up against. Am I right?
Well, no.
I remember last year, every game that they played was after.
Yeah.
Or it was going up against Stanley Cup.
I mean, May sweeps is over. There's not even like the finale of anything on what Game of Thrones came back last night. Is that what I heard? But they were on versus it.
Now, when you say going up against the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's not even a real thing.
I mean.
People still watch hockey.
They do.
Just and not. It was like
in Cleveland
7
and in, and in Oakland, they still watch hockey?
Not in the Laminack House.
San Jose Sharks are in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah,
so.
But that doesn't mean that's going to take precedence over the Warriors.
No.
Everyone that cares about those games are going to be there.
Okay, let me rephrase this. The NBA Finals were being played at the same time on TV as Stanley Cup Finals.
That would be hilarious, though, if they, if they couldn't beat out ice soccer.
Yeah, that would be something, wouldn't it?
That would suck. That would suck.
I was listening to something driving back during the lunch break today, and they were playing a recording of Ali being introduced as the guest referee at WrestleMania 1, and it sounded like bedlam. It was at Madison Square Garden, and he was the guest referee for a match. I guess Liberace was there for some reason.
What? That's why.
Billy Martin was the ring announcer.
Oh, Jesus.
And the crowd, it sounded like a mob. It was the Ali, Ali chant like you'd never heard, and he was well-retired, I think, at that point. This would have been mid-'80s. And it was just fascinating to hear. I mean, for him to be in the Mecca,
yeah,
you know, so to speak.
You know, one thing I remember growing up is he did a lot of commercials, and I always remember the Decon commercials that he did.
Yep.
And he talked about knocking roaches out.
Kills bugs dead. Yeah. Knocking roaches out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He was better than Chuck Connors. He was the one who had the battery on his shoulder. I dare you to knock this battery off my shoulder. He was like some tough guy. Was he the Rifleman? I think he was a TV actor.
Dude,
he was
don't like, get me lying.
Yeah, he was doing like Duracell commercials.
You're older than me. That was your time.
I'm like 2.5 years older than you. Shut up. Shut up. Man, that game last night, I made it halfway through the fourth. I don't know what
I was going to say. I couldn't get through the fourth quarter.
I think my hair shirt wasn't available. I couldn't flog myself. So I watched that game for 3.5 quarters. And the thing of it is, as bad as Cleveland looked and were, how great were the Golden State Warriors playing last night if the Cavaliers were within shouting distance the entire game until early fourth, mid fourth? I mean, it was never more than 7 or 8 points for most of that game.
No, they were up by 20 at the end of the third.
At the end of most of the game. Three quarters is most of the game.
They scored 8. Cleveland scored 18 points in the third quarter.
Shouting
and 15
distance.
In the fourth.
They were within a 3-minute run that they could never achieve for most of that game last night. And we said yesterday on our show, Sean Livingston can't be the guy that beat you. Okay, last night it was Draymond Green, who, you know, it's like Cleveland doesn't have the brains to play the kind of defense that's needed to compete with a team like Golden State. Like
they don't have the athletes. Right? They don't have the personnel to compete with a team like Golden State. I mean,
but when you looked at the constant bickering between J.R. Smith and whoever's closest to him, every time there was supposed to be a switch off and nobody caught the guy coming off the pick or whatever, maybe it was always J.R. Smith's guy, and he was just blaming everybody else.
Even
maybe
LeBron
he
played some
about.
Harden-esque defense yesterday. Dude, they scored. this is all you need to know about the game. The Cleveland Cavaliers scored 33 points in the second half. Mm. Golden State scored that much in the second quarter. Mm. Even when Cleveland they went big at the end of the third quarter, they went big. And they still weren't able to take advantage of that, and they still couldn't even when they would get the ball down low in the interior. Golden State, as small as they were compared to the big lineup for the Cavs, they still couldn't score the ball.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. I mean, I'm impressed with the interior defense of a team that's as small as Golden State compared to some of the teams that they've played. But it really stood out to me last night. I mean, those guys, I need to go back and look at points in the paint and whatnot, but it just seemed to me like every time the ball got down low, somebody was blocking a shot, swiping it, forcing a miss. It was incredible to see that kind of interior defense from a team. I mean, they're a good defensive team, but not like that. 33 points in the second half.
Not just points in the paint, but shots missed in the paint from Cleveland. They missed 29 in game one. 29 shots in the paint that they missed, and they had missed, I think it was 19 at halftime last night.
Yeah.
We alluded to this yesterday on our show. Oklahoma City in 6 and 7 left so many points sitting on the rim. Steven Adams, anyone who was within shouting distance, 3 feet of the rim, 4 feet of the rim, they couldn't get it to fall. And how many layups can you miss? How many baby hooks or whatevers can you miss? And I mean, Golden State, I think, is a better defense than most people will give them credit for. I think they're incredibly efficient on defense.
Yeah.
But, man, you got to make those down low. You can't leave shot after shot after shot. And, I mean, LeBron has got to understand, at least in those games on the road, he's just a guy. He's not getting the superstar calls that he is accustomed to. In fact, he is getting called for fouls against the likes of Anderson Varejao and some of these other dudes on the court who don't get calls are getting calls. LeBron got called for a couple weird charges last night that even Van Gundy, who hates everybody, just couldn't figure it out last night. Mark Jackson couldn't figure out where they're coming from. I wonder what that feels like when you've been the guy for this many years, and all of a sudden, you're not the guy.
Well, you're not the guy on the road against the MVP and the best team in the league.
But against Anderson Varejao? Sideshow Bob? How do you not get those calls? I'm not saying he should get them going against Klay.
Again.
Or even Draymond.
Well,
but,
no.
Oh, man, Draymond Green's a superstar. I know you don't think he is, but.
No, I never said that.
He's a superstar.
A superstar, I think, is. I don't think he's a superstar.
I think he is a star. Yep. I think he is.
Not a superstar.
He is 2 wins away and a finals
MVP.
He's
the third best player on his team, maybe second.
Iguodala won the MVP last year. There's a good shot Draymond Green wins.
No doubt for the finals. But on that team, if you're drafting just from the Warriors, who are you taking first?
Varejao, man. He's got a nose for the
who are you taking second?
He's got a nose for the finals.
That's where it becomes, okay, a little bit. Are you taking Klay Thompson or are you taking Draymond Green?
Honestly, I think I'd take Klay because of his defense.
Second?
First.
Yeah.
I think I'd take Klay Thompson first. Yeah.
Over Curry?
Oddly enough. If you're starting a team.
You crazy.
I'm taking Karl-Anthony Towns for anybody.
Turn his mic off.
Steph Curry don't play defense.
Doesn't matter.
The only reason.
Doesn't matter.
And
dude, there's no, he's the best shooter that ever lived. And he still plays D.
And
Curry plays
and
D.
He doesn't play D, Sean Barry. You don't even watch the games. You've admitted to me you don't watch these games.
Dude, I watched the game yesterday and I saw him.
Klay makes an effort.
I saw LeBron James unable to score in the paint with Curry on him, getting fouled by a dude half his size and unable to put the ball in the rim.
Come on, man.
Now, is that all LeBron or does that have something to do with Curry?
You're in love with the beautiful wife and the darling kids. I would take Klay.
His wife is fine, though.
She is fine, man. Mm-hmm. You know?
What was up with the girl licking her fingers at him or something? I missed that. My wife asked me about that. I was like, I don't know. I need to see this. But I saw some picture of some lady.
I need a vine.
I saw it.
Tyler, what was the deal with that?
I need a vine. Apparently, she's like an Instagram famous
like
model.
Like an Insta-hoochie?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, she's an Insta-hoochie.
How the hell can you be a model because you just have an Instagram account and post some pictures?
Let's shut down Instagram.
I've never understood that.
Instagram model, Instagram star. That's how they break themselves.
Oh, Lord. That's what drives me nuts about doing comedy is there's people touring this nation that are, quote, this is what they build themselves as, YouTube stars. It makes me want to stab myself in the head.
Oh, who's the one who was engaged to Rick Ross?
I kept seeing
storylines referring to her as Instagram model.
Lord,
they were engaged and now they're not engaged.
So what was the deal? Does this chick like lick her fingers and while she was staring at stuff? I just saw one picture.
What about the little kid
this?
Who licked his fingers at the Astros game yesterday?
That one was better.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was awesome.
My wife was like, "Did he really just do that?" Yes, I was like, "Yeah, apparently he did."
The kid wins.
Yeah, but somebody was like, "Don't do it." Steph was the only picture I saw when that lady was looking at him. Steph's wife's hot. He ain't need to.
Yep.
You don't need to do nothing.
She's got a cookbook, too, which means she can deal. Or someone wrote her some recipes, one or the other.
You wouldn't know about Steph Curry's wife's cookbook.
Absolutely. Come on,
apparently,
man.
Apparently, Ayesha Curry just opened up a restaurant or something.
Okay.
It was right before game one. Drake was there.
Drake.
Of course.
Drake. Has he got his Golden State gear yet?
I haven't seen somebody switch teams as much as Drake since RuPaul. That dude. That dude switches teams like crazy.
Believe
Come
it or
on,
not,
Drake.
We are one third of the way through this journey that is called the Blitz, Shock, and Barry. Let's take a break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.